Today I wanted to read in 2 Chronicles 14 about King Asa. And as I was reading this for myself, I saw how this was a king that trusted in the Lord, sought the Lord with his heart, all his heart, and the Lord backed him up, you know, and fought his battles for him and gave him rest from his enemies and peace on all sides. And you know, when he was young and he received that kingship, it was like he had that first love and that faith. And he saw God deliver him from mighty armies and great battles. And then as time went on, we see that he, when was tested again with another king came, it was like a brother to him, it was the king of Israel. And he was coming against Judah, you know, Israel and Judah. And the Lord had, last week we talked about how the enemy tries to bring divisions, and how after Solomon there was rest, and then the kingdom was divided, and then ever since then it was Israel and Judah. You know, and the first battle that Asa had to fight against was against the Ethiopians, so like someone from outside. And it was like a million-man army, you know, huge army, but it was these Ethiopian, and he had faith, and the Lord delivered him. But it was when it was his own brothers that came against them, the Israelites, that he lost heart, and he began to rely on and trust in his own wisdom and his reliance with on other kingdoms, trusting in men. And he lost heart. He lost faith. He didn't have faith in that battle. And the Lord turned against him, and he lost that rest and that peace that he had. And I started to read this and see how, you know, when we're in faith and the Lord delivers from the battles, we have this rest and peace inside. And it's when we, you know, the Lord brings other battles as we move on spiritually and grow, and as we continue. Things that are, with our eyes, sometimes they seem too difficult for us. We seem to have faith for some things, but then things where, it's like, you know, someone that you know that's close to you, or something where you see with your eyes and you know, you have information, and it's hard to have faith in those situations. You know, we can have faith for someone to be saved out there, but it's like when it's your own family member, it seems to be hard to have faith for them to be saved. This is one example. Isn't it true? This is for me, when it's someone that's close to me, it seems it takes more faith. You know, we doubt, because we know, we see with our eyes, we see the problems, and we say, how's it going to change? And I think this is kind of what happened with King Asa, and the Lord had to rebuke him and caused affliction and things to come to show him that he was not relying on God. And it was a message for me that, you know, having times of faith and seeing God do many things and then losing heart and feeling like struggling and believing that God can do great things. So I wanted to read about this King Asa and start in chapter 14, 2 Chronicles 14, verse 1. So Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David, and his son Asa became king in his place. And the land was undisturbed for 10 years during his days. So it was 10 years. You know, I've been serving the Lord over 10 years now. It's been maybe 13 or so years, I'm not sure exactly. 12, 13 years. And for 10 years, it says there was just peace. There was no disturbance while he was reigning. And Asa did good and right in the sight of the Lord his God. He removed the foreign altars and the high places. He tore down the sacred pillars and cut down the ashram. You know, that's tied right in there with the fact that he did what was right, and he dealt with the idols and the high places. And the Lord honored him and blessed him by giving him peace. And he commanded Judah to seek the Lord. He commanded those who were over under him. He was the king, and in all of Judah, he commanded them to seek God, the God of their fathers, and to observe the law and the commandments. He removed the high places, the incense altars, from all the cities of Judah, and the kingdom was undisturbed under him. So it says that twice. In his obedience to serve the Lord wholeheartedly, it says that this kingdom was undisturbed. It was like God honored that he, if he dealt with the idols and the high places in the land, then God would give him peace. And that was the way it was under the Old Covenant. Now, as I was reading, I was like, Lord, this is like a promise in the New Testament, you know? It says, in the world we will have tribulations, but in Jesus, there's peace. So I can go in every situation and have total and perfect peace and be undisturbed and unmoved in my soul if I'm fully trusting in God and obedient to what he's asking me to do. Not clinging to anything in my heart, not clinging to any idol in my heart, This is the way it was for him. He was total peace. And so he built fortified cities in Judah, and the land was totally undisturbed. And there was no one at war. That was how faithful God was to him. That no one was at war with him during those years because the Lord had given him rest. So you see, under that old covenant, that there was a rest for him in his obedience to God. And we know that God has a rest for us in the same way. And that rest is for those who believe. That's where the rest is. You know, it's unbelief. This is what I saw. The message for me was, it's the unbelief that brings me into this place of battles. What are these wars? It says no one was at war. And I thought, Lord, the war is the war in the members. It's the war in the mind. It's the battles within, and it's the battles outside. And when I am in unbelief, there's no rest. And that's when the wars begin and the battles begin in the mind. And for Asa, when he was faithful to the Lord, he blessed him and gave him this peace, and no one was at war with him. And so he was able to build up cities, you know, and I see this as God wants to build his house. He wants to start with me, and he wants to build the church. And so he began to build cities and surrounded them with walls and towers and gates and bars. It was like there was perfect peace, and there was no one that could break through into the cities. You know, it was like the Lord said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. God wants to build a church where the walls cannot be broken through, and the gates and the bars are strong. The enemy can't break through. It said, the land is still ours because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he has given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. This is the key. This is what I saw. It ties to Ephesians chapter 4 and the building of the church. When we trust God with all our heart, and we are dealing with the things and the idols in our heart, and we are walking in faith and have that rest in our souls, we're overcoming the battles, then we can build, and God will build his church. You know, it's like that scripture, it says they labor in vain. You know, when they're trying to build the church without Christ, they labor in vain, but it says they began to build and they prospered. So there was no laboring in vain for Asa in those days because his heart was fully devoted to the Lord. So he had an army of 300,000 men from his own Judah, bearing shields and spears, and 280,000 from Benjamin, bearing shields and wielding bows. And all of them were valiant warriors. He had mighty men of valor. So many of them, because he was faithful to God, and God just built his city, built his kingdom. This is how it will be for us. You know, he'll bring people into our paths, and he'll build up the church. Now, Zerah the Ethiopian, at this time, it seemed as though God allowed a test to come. He was in his place of just abundance and prosperity. You know, and I think there's a temptation there of pride and at ease. And God allowed a test to come, and this test was an Ethiopian king. It came against him with 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots. I don't know what that would look like to the eyes, but it would be insurmountable and huge, massive. You know, it would be like the biggest test you could imagine for you spiritually. 1,000,000 man army coming against you. Maybe you had a dream about it, but you know, this is something that for him, it would have been impossible. So Asa went out to meet him, and they drew up in battle formation in the valley of Zarephath. And it says, Asa called to the Lord his God and said, that's the first thing he did. He went to prayer and he started calling the name of the Lord. He said, Lord, there is no one besides you to help in the battle. Between the powerful and those who have no strength. There is no distinction in his mind at that point in his life between someone who seemed to be have strength or was strong and someone who had no strength, who was weak. Because in his mind, God was the one who could deliver the strong and the weak. He said, so help us, O Lord our God, for we trust in you. That was the reason he could say, Lord, help us, because we trust in you. It's not about our strength. It's not about how many men we have or how little men we have. It's about trusting in God. That's where the victory is. And in your name, we have come against this multitude. It was because of Jesus' name, the Lord's name in that day. The Lord, for O Lord, you are God. Let no man prevail against you. Because it was his name that's at stake. You know, when the battles are before us, it's his name. It's in Jesus' name as we're Christians, we're sons of God. Lord, let no one prevail against you, because we're fighting this battle in the name of the Lord, just the way David did against Goliath. It says, so the Lord routed the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. It was one prayer like that. A sincere prayer of faith. You know when you pray with faith, and you know when you pray with unbelief. When you pray with faith, it says when whatever you ask in faith, you know you have it. And just like that, when he prayed in faith, it says the Lord began to rout his enemies. And it says here that, verse 13, Asa and the people who were with him pursued them as far as Gerar, so that many Ethiopians fell and they could not recover, for they were shattered before the Lord, before his army, and they carried away very much plunder. And they destroyed all the cities of Gerar, for the dread of the Lord had fallen upon them. The Lord just caused his dread to fall upon their enemies. And they despoiled all the cities, and there was much plunder in them. So they also struck down those who owned livestock and carried away large numbers of sheep and camels, and they returned to Jerusalem. So this battle was another day of prosperity and blessing for them, because he trusted in God. He didn't have to lift a finger. He just, the dread of God came upon them, and they just pursued them, and they struck them down. The Lord helped them. Now it says here, then the Spirit of God, chapter 15, verse 1, came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went to meet him, and he met Asa and said to him, listen to me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. So he won this great battle, and it's like the Lord appeared to him. It's kind of like when Abraham fought with the five kings and the four kings there of Sodom, and the Lord appeared to him after he'd rescued Lot, and he said to him, walk before me and be blameless. And a revelation of God came, and a prophet, God sent a prophet specifically after this battle to tell him a message. That was to encourage him and also to warn him. It was an encouragement to continue in faith, that the Lord was the one that was with him, and a warning that not to forsake him. And this is what he said. He said, the Lord is with you, in verse 2, when you are with him. Just so you know, the Lord is with you when you're with him. God is faithful. And if you seek him, he will let you find him. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. And for many days, Israel was without true God. And this is still prophet speaking. And without teaching priest and without law, but in their distress. He's reminding Asa before the days come. He's saying, in their distress, remember, they turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and they sought him, and he let them find him. And in those times, there was no peace to him who went out or to him who came in. For many disturbances afflicted all the inhabitants of the lands. And nation was crushed by nation and city by city. So there was wars and disturbances. There was no peace. Remember those days, he said. But it was in those days when the people of God, they cried out and God heard them. And it says in verse 6, nation was crushed by nation and city by city, for God troubled them with every kind of distress. So God troubled them and allowed trouble and affliction or trial, trouble is like trial, to come to show them that they weren't trusting in God. They weren't seeking him and finding him. But he said, but you be strong and do not lose courage. This is amazing to me. It's like the Lord could foresee Asa. He was a man of faith. But he knew there was a danger down the road of him not trusting in God with all his heart and falling in this pattern of unbelief. And he said, look, don't lose heart. Don't lose courage. He said, for there is a reward for your work. It's like that passage in Hebrews 11 that says, he who believes that God is, and that God is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's faith, to believe that God is, and that he rewards those who continue to seek him, not to lose heart. This was the warning that God sent to Asa, a prophet, to warn him ahead of time, before the day would come where he would make a compromise in his heart and lose heart. And so we see the rest of this, the days of Asa, it says in verse 8, so when Asa heard the words of this prophecy, which Azariah, the son of Oded, the prophet, spoke, he took courage, and he removed the abominable idols. It seemed like there was more idols to deal with. He got strength from the word of the Lord, and he started to deal with idols. He knew this was the key to victory. It was the key to having peace and removing of the affliction and the disturbances of his soul. He started dealing with idols in Judah and Benjamin from the cities, which he captured in the hill country of Ephraim. And it says, then he restored the altar of the Lord, which was in front of the porch of the Lord. He began to restore that altar, the place of sacrifice. He gathered Judah and Benjamin and those from Ephraim and Manasseh and Simeon who resided with them, for many defected to him from Israel when they saw that the Lord, his God, was with them. You know, there's no laboring or no striving when you're in the Spirit and when the Lord is fighting for you. It's like the Lord brings people I mean, this is how it was in the beginning. How the Lord drew those into the body of Christ was when we were walking in faith, and there was peace in our heart, and people were attracted to that. This is what happened in the days of Asa. When he was seeking the Lord and dealing with idols, it was like people were defecting to him because they could see God was with them. God is building his church this way. This is how he does it. There's no striving and no laboring. So they assembled at Jerusalem in the third month of the 15th year of Asa's reign. And they sacrificed the Lord that day, 700 oxen, 7,000 sheep from the spoil they had brought. There was just a heart of sacrifice. Asa's heart was in that place, and the people followed him. And they entered into the covenant to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, with all their heart and soul. And whoever would not seek the Lord, the God of Israel, should be put to death, whether small or great, man or woman. There was a fear of God in those days. There was no compromisers or lukewarmers that were going to be part of that fellowship. It was like all the heart or death. Moreover, they made an oath to the Lord with a loud voice, with shouting, with trumpets, and with horns. And all Judah rejoiced concerning the oath, for they had sworn to their whole heart, and had sought him earnestly, it says, and he let them find him. So the Lord gave them rest on every side. Notice how it says here, so the Lord gave them rest. It was like the promise of the Lord, I'll give you rest because you're giving me your whole heart. I'm going to give you rest. So he also removed Micaiah, the mother king of Asa, from the position of queen mother because she made a horrid image as an Asherah. And Asa cut down the horrid image and crushed it and burned it. And he put that thing into ashes. This queen mother of his that had allowed some idol image to come into the midst. There was no partiality with him, even with his own mother. It says, but the high places were not removed from Israel. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was blameless all his days. He had dealt with the idols, but there was obviously some areas in his life where he didn't see, but his heart, it says, was blameless. What he knew, he dealt with. He brought to the house of God the dedicated things of his fathers, the things of silver, gold, utensils, and all that. Now it says, this is when things changed. So he had received that word of the Lord, and he'd obeyed it, and the people of God began to follow him, and the Lord blessed him and gave him rest. But then, certain time later, the king Baasha, king of Israel, came against Judah and fortified Ramah in order to prevent anyone from going in or out to King Asa. This was like his brother, you know. There's always a divided kingdom, but it was like when this trial came upon him, if something happened, in his heart, that time in his heart, he wasn't in the same place. And he knew he had to somehow overcome this battle, and he began to use his own wisdom. And so this is what he came up with in verse 2. Asa brought out silver and gold from the treasuries of the house of the Lord. I mean, that's where he had put his trust. He put his trust in the silver and the gold. You know, the money. He knew he could somehow use this to win favor with another king. And that's what he did. He took the silver and the gold, and it says he sent them to Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, who lived in Damascus. He sent it to the king of Aram. And he said, let there be a treaty between you and me, as between my father and your father. Behold, I have sent you silver and gold. Go break your treaty with Baasha, king of Israel, so that he will withdraw from me. And this is where he made an evil alliance. And he put his trust in another king in the flesh, in the arm of the flesh, to try and win this battle. And the Lord wasn't in it at all. So Ben-Hadad, he listened to King Asa because there's something in it for him, silver and gold. And he sent his commanders and his armies against the cities of Israel. He just broke treaty and he just turned his back and stabbed Israel in the back, so to speak. And they came, it says they conquered Ijon, Dan, Abel-Maim, and all the cities of the Naphtali. And it came about when Baasha heard of it that he ceased fortifying Ramah and stopped his work. So his plan worked. He got it done. You know, and sometimes we can get it done. But there's a consequence. And this is what happened. It says, the king Asa brought all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah and its timber with Baasha in the building, and with them he fortified Geba and Mizpah. At that time, it says, Hananiah the seer came to Asa, the king of Judah, and said to him, so God sent another prophet now. God saw, he was watching the whole thing. He was watching all of this. He'd warned him earlier on with the prophet, and he had done well for a time, but now God is watching to see if he would pass this test. It was a huge test for him. And for some reason, I don't know why, I mean, it was like he saw a million men destroyed, but at this point in his life, it was the battle was too big, and I say, Lord, I can see victories in my past. You did amazing things, but then there's certain situations that I see that they don't seem maybe as great, but just, I don't have the faith. It seems like I don't have faith, and I just strive and strive and strive, and I'm not coming to faith. And I think this is what happened with Asa. It was like, he just looked at the situation and says, well, this is the way I got to deal with it. And it was a test for him. And he said, because you have relied on the king of Aram, and you have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army, the king of Aram, has escaped out of your hand. He said, there's going to be a judgment. You didn't rely on me there. You didn't trust in me. And you trusted in flesh. You put your trust in people. This is a huge test. When we don't fear God, we fear man. The ones we fear, those are the ones who we cling to. We trust the ones that we're afraid of. And we become in bondage there. A spirit of fear leading to bondage. And because he had a spirit of fear of losing this battle, he put his trust in flesh. God said, I was watching you and you did not trust me. And so now this king of Aram, he's going to escape out of your hands. You won't have the victory. He said, remember, we're not the Ethiopians and the Lubin, an immense army with very many chariots and horsemen. Yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. So what is the Lord speaking to me? Remember the past victories. Remember how it was when you trusted in me that you got the victory over those battles. It says here in verse 9, for the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. That is a promise. And in our unbelief, we don't truly believe this is what God's desire is for his children. His eyes are looking to and fro continually. When we have these wars that are facing us, what are these wars? These wars we know from Ephesians 6 are not against flesh and blood anymore. But they are people, aren't they? Sometimes they're people in our life that we're wrestling with. But we know it's principalities and powers. There's a spiritual battle going on. And God's eyes are looking down and he sees it. He sees the battle. It's just like Asa and the Ethiopians. And just like Asa and Ben-Hadad, the king of Israel. He sees there's a battle. You're trying to fight in your own strength. You're fighting it, and there's no rest, there's no peace, and there's a fear. And you're anxious, and he's saying that his desire is to strongly support you if your heart is fully his. Say, Lord, whatever your will is, I'm going to support. He says, I'm going to support you. He said, this is what you did. You acted foolishly in this. Indeed, from now on, you will surely have a worse. And that was a judgment that the Lord brought. You've only caused yourself a battle that you won't win, because in that place of unbelief, we can never have rest. This is what I saw. So, Lord, I don't want to be in that place where I don't win the battle and I never learn to trust God and have peace in my heart, to have rest, where I just lose heart and I see the battle and I get anxious. I get frustrated, right? I go in the flesh. I try and speak with my mouth and with words, you know. We try and fight with our mouth, with our words, usually. And as I heard a rebuke from the Lord saying, this is what you did. You acted foolishly. You know what it says in the gospel? It says the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but it's the power of God to those who believe. He was a fool because he didn't believe. That's what made him a fool. It's the message of the cross. It's powerful when we believe it. And this is how he responded. Asa was angry. This is the Asa that loved God with all his heart. This is the one who tore down the idols. And when God sent someone to reprove him, he got upset because it wasn't favorable towards him. But God's desire wasn't, you know, to have him to come to this place. His desire was to show him, look, if you trust in me, I will be with you to support you. And he was angry with the seer, and he put him in prison, for he was enraged at him for this. He began to persecute this prophet. And Asa, it says here, he oppressed some of the people at the same time. This was amazing to me, that God's rebuke to Asa caused him to get so frustrated and upset that something happened to his character. He had an evil character that actually put oppression on others, when he was never like that. In fact, we know from his past that Many were following and defecting to serve Asa because he feared God and God was with him. But when he trusted in flesh, it changed his attitude and he was battling with anger. He had an anger problem, and oppression came as a result of that. And it says here, now the acts of Asa from the first to the last, behold, they're written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And not only this, and the Lord still tried to get his attention. It says, in the 39th year of his reign, as time continued to go on and he stayed in that condition, in that place of anger and oppression, it says that Asa became diseased in his feet. The Lord sent an affliction upon him. It says his disease was severe. You know, why would God do that? It says that he will put man on a bed of sickness to speak to him, to teach him, to turn him from the pit, to turn him and show him what is right to him for him. He got this disease, and it says his disease was severe. Yet even in his disease, he did not seek the Lord but the physicians. But I thought about this, and I thought, you know, he used to have faith to fight million-man armies. And when he compromised once there, with that one battle in his mind, it was like he lost faith. He didn't have faith for anything. He didn't have faith that God could spare him, you know, save him from an affliction, a physical bodily affliction. And that evil heart of unbelief began to get rooted in him, where he couldn't trust God anymore. He couldn't. And so he thought, now I have to go to this. He went to the king of, you know, Aram, and he learned how to deal with problems that way, with the flesh. And when he got sick, he went to the physicians, because it was something that was sown into him in his unbelief. He learned how to go to men to fix the problems. And it's not wrong to go and for help and all that, but it's the heart that the Lord looks at. And in his searching the physicians, the Lord could see that he wasn't trusting God anymore. And this is how a small area of unbelief and not trusting God can take us from a place of great victories into a place of losing heart and discouragement. And even where anger can rise up, this man became an angry man. And that's not the Lord's will. And we have an exhortation in Psalm 118. Let's read Psalm 118. Here we see that Asa was distressed because of the battles, because of the afflictions that came upon him. What does the Word of God say? What should we do in the day of distress? There's always a decision to make. We can see here from this passage what the decision was and is. Psalm 118, verse 5. From my distress I called upon the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. You know, it's like a picture. You know, when you're hemmed in, when you know you feel you're hemmed in, it's a small place, and it's just like being claustrophobic, and that's where anxiousness and discouragement comes. In the place of distress, you can call upon the Lord, and he can set you in a broad place. That's a place where it's just peace and rest. And this is what he says, the Lord is for me. It's the exact thing that the prophet told Asa. He said, when you are for the Lord is for you. But if you forsake him, if you don't trust him, the Lord is not for you. And he said, in his place of distress, he was there and he called out the psalmist and said, the Lord is for me. I'm calling on the name of the Lord. The Lord is now for me and I will not fear. It's the fear of man that's a snare that leads us to make bad decisions, to compromise, to go to the flesh. And he said, I will not fear. What can man do to me? This is what Asa should have said when he was in that place and had to make a decision. He should have said, Lord, I do not have to fear. What can man do to me if you're for me? Paul said this in Romans 8. Who's there to harm? Who's going to condemn us if Christ is for us? Who died for us? Who will condemn us? He said, the Lord is for me among those who help me. You know, well, there might be a lot of help around us, but it's the Lord who's the one that's for us, and he's the one that delivers us. Therefore, I shall look with satisfaction upon those who hate me. Those enemies, those are the enemies of our mind. It's the devil for us. In the Old Covenant, their enemies are flesh and blood, but not to us. Our enemy is the devil. And we know that when the devil is putting us in this bondage that leads to fear, like it says here, the Lord is for me, I will not fear. Where there is fear, there is a battle there to be won. Whenever there's fear, we have to win that battle of fear. Because the devil will use fear. It's one of his greatest weapons. is fear to put you in bondage to sin, to continue to sin and not trust God. He uses fear. That's how they came against Jesus on the day of his death, and they tried to continue to put fear in him. And he called on his Father to help him. He said, it is better, verse 8, to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better. It seems like an easy escape when we put our trust in the flesh or in our own ideas, but it never prospers. There's always a consequence, we saw with King Asa. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. This is where his error was, King Asa. He put his trust in the king, and he erred in his heart in a decision that cost him. Let's look here in Hebrews in chapter 4. Let's read first in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Take care, brethren, lest there should be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God. That was the falling away that happened with King Asa. It was his heart that began in faith and began to slip away in unbelief. God really does see that as evil, you know, if you look at it. This is where the Lord is showing me this week. It's this evil, unbelieving heart. That's the sin. That's where it roots. It manifests with fear and bitterness and all these things. Discouragement, heaviness, oppression, anger, all those things root because we don't trust God with all our heart. And this is the evil heart of unbelief that begins the falling away process we saw with King Asa. It says, encourage one another day after day. The Lord sent a prophet to encourage him. He said, take courage. It's totally Bible. That's what he did. Encouraging. While it's called today, lest you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm unto the end. That was the message that the Lord sent to Asa. Hold fast your faith that you had from the beginning. Before he fell, the Lord sent a prophet. That's how much he loved him. He sent a message to him before the days would come when he would not trust God. We need to hold fast that faith and recognize the test when it comes. I'm just starting to recognize a little more, a glimpse more of my unbelieving heart that leads to these battles that I find I struggle. So we read in chapter 4, verse 1, it says here, verse 19 actually, let's read the last verse here. I'm going to read this. So we see that they were not able to enter, speaking about the rest, the land, because of unbelief. That is why Asa had worse the rest of his days. The Lord said, you're not going to have rest because of your unbelief. You didn't trust me. Here we now see it in the New Covenant, New Testament. It's the same battles in the spiritual realm for us. He said, therefore, let us fear. So we need the fear of God, because when we lose that fear of God, we're fearing other things. We're fearing losing things, losing the things that we cling to, the things that are idols in our hearts, the things that are comforts, the things that are pleasures and desires. When we fear losing something, or we fear not having things, is when we lose the fear of God. So let us fear God while this promise remains of entering this rest, where we can have rest in our soul. Lest any one of you should seem to come short of this, to come short of that rest that God has called for us. For indeed we have had this good news preached to us, just as they also, and which we heard today. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. For we who have believed enter the rest. That is how the battle is won. It's believing the Lord sees the battle. He's coming to support us if we seek him with all our heart. The Lord supports those who seek him. And it says here, he swore in his wrath, they shall not enter his rest, because it says, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. And so verse 6, it says, since therefore remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had the good news preached to them failed to enter because of their disobedience. It says in verse 9, there remains therefore a Sabbath rest for the people of God. We know there's a rest. This is the will of God for me to have rest in my soul, not to have to fight this battle and not win it. The one who has entered this rest has himself rested from his works. That's fighting in your own flesh. That's what Asa did. He did it. He was working hard with his silver and his gold, making treaties, talking with flesh, getting an alliance together. He did a lot of work. He didn't have to do any of that. Think about that. Think about all the planning and all what he was doing to try and figure out how to fight this battle. And the Lord was saying, look, you don't have to do any of that work. I would fight for you. All you have to do is trust in me. If he only could have seen that. It's the same for me. It's like, see the battle and you got to talk about it. You got to think about it. And all this working and laboring, right? When the Lord says you can enter the rest immediately just by trusting in me. It says, let us, verse 11, be diligent to enter this rest, lest anyone fall through the same example of disobedience. So we need to hear God's word. That's why God sent the word to Asa. He said, the word of God is living and active today, now. Right? The word of God can come today to show us why are we disturbed in our souls. It says it's going to be active and sharp to like a two-edged sword to pierce through the division of the soul and our spirit. The soul is where my will is and where my emotions are. And all my the things in my heart that battle and war against in the things of the spirit. The word of God can show me that I'm tied to this in my emotions or in my fears are or where my comforts are or where my possessions are. Where I'm clinging to things in my soul. The Lord wants to give me rest in my soul. But you have to yield to the Spirit to find rest in the soul. And when the soul takes over and the Spirit takes second place, that's when there's trouble. We can't be led by our emotions and our fears. If our fears take control in our hearts, we'll become a subject and a slave to those fears. That's what happened to King Asa. He was afraid and he became a slave to that fear and he had to do things in the flesh. And so the Word of God is able to show us. We're clinging to things from our soul and not subjecting ourselves to the Spirit. Dividing between that area, between the joints and the marrow, judging the very thoughts and the intents of our heart, showing us where the idol is, where the fear is. You know, perhaps Asa came to a place where he couldn't bear the thought of losing his kingdom. He had gained so much. You know, he had all this wealth, he had all these people serving him. You know, but it was when he was little in his own eyes where he knew God did it all. But I believe as time went by, something happened where he didn't put his trust in God anymore. Obviously, it was manifested. When he was clinging to something and he got afraid of losing it. It was what he was clinging to when he was afraid of losing it. When the battle became so great, he tried to do it in his own strength. It says there's no creature hidden from his sight. God could see it all along and he sent this very war to test him in that area. God could see what was in his heart. See, all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. God can see those areas of our heart. And if we don't have rest and there's a struggle within, he's going to shake it. He's going to bring us to a place where we learn to trust in him. And since we have this great high priest, Jesus, who's passed through the heavens, the Son of God, let us hold our confession. Because we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize, Jesus is able to sympathize because he was tested in every way as we are without sin. He was tested in the areas of fear, in the areas of becoming a king and clinging to taking that. He knew he had to die. You know, they wanted to make him a king, but he knew he had to let it all go and he had to die. He couldn't call the angels to help him. He knew he could have called 12 legions of angels, but he knew that wasn't the will of God. He told his own disciples that he knew he had to trust his Father. That was the battle he had to win. And he came to that place so he can sympathize with us whenever we're fighting these things. It says, let us draw near now with confidence. That's faith. Faith is the assurance, the confidence of things hoped for. We have to draw near with confidence when we have the battles. That's where we go. We go to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in that time. The time of need is when the wars begin in the mind. When the wars begin in my mind, you can get discouraged. I need to go with confidence. That's faith to God and say, Lord, if I seek you with all my heart in this, I know you will give me rest. I don't have to battle it in my flesh. I don't have to suffer in this. I want to have rest the rest of my days. I don't want to be continually battling and never learning to trust in you with all my heart. This is the promise that we have from him. We may enter that rest in Jesus' name.